Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 22nd of October. I am Paul White. I want to invite those of you who are within driving distance of Flowery Branch, Georgia, to come be with us this Sunday evening at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time at the Sterling-on-the-Lake Clubhouse Theater in Flowery Branch. We will be having our one Sunday evening per month service. We meet every Tuesday, but we have one Sunday evening. It's the 27th of October this month, and we'd love to have you. Of course, we air those on our website a little after they happen. The sermon that just aired this past Sunday was from last month's meeting. So you can come be with us. We would love to see you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. We read 2 yesterday. We gave the greater context of this through the 16th chapter. Here's verse 3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, the head of Christ is God. We're getting into the head coverings passage. Listen to yesterday for the greater context. This is one of those passages where not only does the greater context come into play as much or more than any other passage, but also one of the things that you need to do in this is keep reading, because verses take, I don't want to say they take a turn, verses get into deeper development. So look at it as a case being stacked up. Layer number one, the head of a man is Christ, the head of a woman, man, the head of Christ, God. Now, if you go, well, I don't know about that, that freaks me out, then you're probably looking at it through a modern lens, not a Jewish lens and a creative historical lens, and you're also not allowing the case to go layer upon layer. So add a layer. Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonors his head. Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. We're going to come back to this, don't worry. We're stacking those cases. If a woman's not covered, let her also be shorn. If it's shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he's the image and glory of God. Woman is the glory of man. Man is not from woman, but woman is from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. So time out again. There you go. Oh boy. That doesn't sound good, or doesn't sound like something you'd hear in modern day vernacular. But again, put it in their context with Judaism as your backdrop, with a creative story in your past of Adam and Eve, and you're stacking it up. So you have who is the head of whom, who was created for whom, and then watch as Paul develops this. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of angels. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor is woman independent of man in the Lord. Watch that turn, okay? Let's read it again. I'll slow down. Neither is man independent of woman, nor is woman independent of man in the Lord. Okay, so first layer, there is a level of spiritual authority in regards to creation. And then Paul rounds it out by going, however, you are inexorably linked. Man doesn't exist without the woman. Woman doesn't exist without the man. Watch 12 really bring it home. For as woman came from man, even so man comes through woman, but all things are from God. So woman comes out of man's side. Again, Jewish creative history. Woman comes out of man's side. Where does the next man in the story come from? From the woman. So Paul puts us together in a way that maybe to this point hasn't been thought to have been done. Woman comes out of man. Man then comes through woman. Paul saying there's no way to divorce one from the other. There's no way to not see woman as part of man or man as part of woman. So what comes first? This is as close to the chicken and the egg argument as Paul ever gets. So it's saying, look, in the creative sense, it goes God, then man, then woman. In the recreative sense, woman comes out of man, man comes through the woman. So in a recreative sense, there is an equality that cannot be denied. For as woman comes from man, so man comes through woman, all things from God. And then this statement to kick off 13, judge among yourselves. And then a series of questions. Okay, now yesterday I brought to you verse 16 where Paul says, listen, don't be contentious, we don't have these customs. Today I bring you this thought from 13, judge among yourselves. Judge among yourselves seems to me to mean mull these things over, talk about them, consider them, and then make judgment calls based upon them. He doesn't, quote unquote, lay down the law. He's speaking to a mixed audience of former idol-worshipping Greeks, former Jews who are now believers, and a mixture of people with all kinds of backgrounds. That's Corinth, quite the cosmopolitan city of the first century. And so he says, listen, here's one tradition, here's one tradition, here's the creative process, here's where we stand now, judge among yourselves. And in all of the discussions of what should and shouldn't be done in Paul's epistles, rarely does anyone bring up that 13th verse, judge among yourselves, because it's almost too ambiguous for our sensibilities. It's you get to be a little too involved, as it were. And I don't think so. I think you being involved by using your sensibility and your powers of discernment is a necessary thing. Now, tomorrow, we're not just flying through these verses. I'm picking parts to help us understand other parts. Tomorrow, I want to deal with those actual coverings, and I want to show you something that doesn't get brought out too often about Paul's liberating theology, more than restrictive theology. And we'll do that tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.